This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Thursday. I'm your host, James Rapine. A lot to get to. I'm on Twitter at Locked On Bengals at James Rapine. Check out the new and improved LockedOnBengals.com for every single one of our podcast articles, videos, insight on all 11 Bengals draft picks and so much more in one spot. Plus, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can. How? Well, there's a bunch of ways, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, like literally wherever, ever you get your podcast. Shout out, by the way, to Jonathan Gaffney, who said some really kind words and broke down the podcast and found us yesterday. If you want to, and if you're new to this podcast, I'll say one thing. We try to give you Bengals content every single day, Monday through Friday for sure here with the podcast, and then throughout the weekend and the week on the website as well. But Monday through Friday, you're going to get your daily Bengals fix, period, here with the Locked On Bengals podcast. And a lot to discuss. And one thing that I want to get into is your tweets. I want to get into your tweets some today. I want to get into Jonathan's, who brought up some good points, some things I want to get to and discuss. By the way, numbers came out, and a number that came out for the players, and Mark Walton, I retweeted this at Locked On Bengals. Mark Walton is wearing the Jeremy Hill number, and there's a graphic of it up right now at Locked On Bengals on Twitter. I retweeted it. How about that? So now he's the running back that takes Jeremy Hill's place, and Jeremy Hill took Cedric Benson's place with that number. Cedric Benson took Rudy Johnson's place with that number, and Rudy Johnson took Kajana Carter's place with that number. So Mark Walton, 32. You can see the graphic on Twitter as well. And I will say this too. Shout out to, and I know I'm doing a lot of shout outs, but that's all right. Brian Dugan. Brian Dugan basically said, "Hey, Bengals fans, this is your podcast. I have no affiliation with it whatsoever. It's just a damn good podcast. Catch up on the team with guests like Joe Goodberry, Dave Lapham, John Ledyard, as James Rapine talks all things Bengals." Brian, thank you so much for being a loyal listener and for the kind words. Let's jump into it here because there's a lot I want to get into, and including some tweets I've gotten. But the over-under thing, I'm starting to get a little bit more. And here's why. Sometimes Vegas knows something we don't. And they're ahead of the curve sometimes, most of the time. Other times, not so much. And I want to know how blinded I am. Am I blinded? Because I see a team that has a C-plus quarterback that has improved on the offensive line. By the way, they've went 7-9 last year. They went 7-9. So a team that has regressed tremendously over the past couple off seasons. Still won 13 games over those 2 years. 7-9 last season. They've upgraded at left tackle. They're significantly better and deeper at running back than they have been in quite some time, probably ever in the Andy Dalton era. They've upgraded left tackle. They've upgraded center. They've added an offensive line coach that everyone in that building expects to deliver and thinks will deliver and believes will deliver. And I've heard that from multiple people down there. So you couple that with the 9th overall pick, who is healthy, who's put on weight, who's stronger now than ever, who's worked out with TJ Hushmanzada, and you keep Eifert on board. The offense has to be better, right? Like what am I missing? Because even if, like, let's just say Ross doesn't deliver and Eifert doesn't deliver and we're down to A.J. Green and Brandon LaFell and Tyler Boyd. Let's just say that, right? The running game has to be better than it was last year. So you're still improved from where you were a year ago. Couple that with a defense that I think should be better. A defense that added Preston Brown, who's an upgrade, I would say, from who they had last year at linebacker. I mean, Preston Brown, he's not like this super athletic freak, but is he better than Kevin Minner? Yes. Okay. They obviously added a bunch of defensive players in the draft. I mean, a bunch. You know, I mean, for safety, corners. So to me, this team is better. But Vegas doesn't seem to think so because the over-under for Bovada is 6. The over-under for Bet Online is 5.5. Like, that to me is concerning. So am I blind? What am I missing? I'll ask you. And you can tweet me at James Rapine or at Locked On Bengals. You can email me, James Rapine at ESPN1530.com. What am I missing? What's different? What's changed with this Bengals team? Because so far, everything I've witnessed this offseason, most of it I've enjoyed. Now, is it as simple as Vegas looks at Marvin and they look at Andy and they say, you can't get it done? Because I think that they're the perfect guys to turn the ship around a little. And what I mean by that is Marvin's done this before. He inherited a two-win team in 2003, got him to 8-8. The Bengals fell on their face in 2008 because of Carson Palmer's injury, etc. He got them to the playoffs in 2009. 2010 was the biggest letdown I've ever had being a Bengals fan as far as expectations for the preseason and then how the actual season went. They win four games. He has a rookie quarterback. He has a rookie wide receiver. And they end up in the playoffs with nine wins in 2011. 2012, it felt like at times that they weren't going to be able to make the playoffs. He did so anyway. And then all of a sudden, the expectations blew up, and I get it. Anytime we usually count Marvin out, anytime he's been like, it's over, back against the wall, this is it, you're going to win four or five games, he's turned it around. This is the time. This is that reset button where you better win this year. And you're going to say, well, what? They'll bring him back. And maybe they will. I don't know. I'm never going to say Marvin's officially gone. But is there a scenario where if they win three or four games, if they win under six games, that Marvin's not back in 2019? Absolutely. There has to be. There has to be. And I want to dive into the schedule, and I will do that next. I'm not going to go game for game, but I'm going to talk about it because I think the schedule's pretty hard for the Bengals. We'll get to that in a second here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Rapine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. By the way, shout out to, a couple of you tweeted me about the five-star reviews and that you gave them to me on iTunes. Thank you so much for doing that. And please continue that. It'll get the word out. More people will be referred to the podcast on iTunes if you do that. So if you could do that, that would be amazing of you. And it's simple. You just go onto iTunes, leave a five-star review. You can write something if you want to, and some of you said you did, some of you said you didn't, but if you could do that, that would be great, great, great. If not, it's okay. I appreciate you listening either way. Let's dive into the schedule, because I think it's a tough schedule. I think the Bengals, they have to hope to start 2-2, because otherwise they're going to be in trouble quickly. At Indy to start the season. Big question mark with Andrew Luck, but that's tough starting on the road. Baltimore, 4 days later. At home, NFL Network, primetime. It's going to be a tough one. At Carolina, week three. At Atlanta, week four. Three road games out of the first four. I'm hoping for 2-2. Like, 1-3 seems the most likely, and I don't know where the for sure win is. Because if Andrew Luck's healthy, that's going to be a tough game. The Ravens, you might say, oh, that's a winnable. Yeah, it's absolutely winnable. They also beat the Bengals 20-0 last year. Opening in the first game of the year. So yeah, they could certainly beat the Ravens. I could also see them losing. At Carolina, very tough. At Atlanta, tough. Miami at home, it's a game you have to win. Then Pittsburgh at home, a game you have to win, in my eyes. And so best case scenario, you're 4-2 through six. In my opinion, worst case, you're like 2-4, 1-5. I mean, there's a worst case where it starts out really, really bad. At Kansas City is dreadful. That's one of the worst places to play in the league. And then Tampa Bay at home, you got to win that game as well. And then I said I wasn't going to go through all the games, but we're halfway there. Then they have a bye. New Orleans at home. It'll be tough. At least you're not going there. At Baltimore, Cleveland, Denver at home, good thing, instead of having to go there. At Los Angeles, West Coast trips, never fun. I think the Chargers are going to be really good this year. Oakland at home, then at Cleveland and at Pittsburgh. That's tough. I see a path where they're going to be 10-6. I see a path where they're going to be 6-10. But I will say this, and I'm going to triple down on this. You're probably going to hear me say this a lot. Be really good or be really bad. Do not be 7-9. Do not be 8-8. Be 4-12 and get a top five pick, or be 10-6, go to the playoffs, and make us feel like he got a chance to make a run. No in between. I don't want the in between. I don't want the 7-9 and, oh, what should we do? Should we hit the reset? Should we not? No, no, no. Be good or suck. Because that way, if they suck, they can acknowledge, hey, we need to make some changes now to get back. And if they're good, then, hey, these things are working. Maybe they make a deep playoff run. And if not, then they can address the issues that they have and go from there. But don't be the 7-9, 6-9 like they have been the past couple of years. Be good or be bad. I'm James Rapine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. How about that? Be good or be bad. Don't be okay. That's the advice you want to get when you tune into the Locked On Bengals podcast. By the way, I didn't mention this, but they got Caron White. They acquired Caron White a couple days ago, and he was an undrafted free agent that was released by the Seattle Seahawks a day after they signed him. And he's 6'1", 200 pounds, rookie out of West Virginia, signed with Seattle Friday, and then he got waived. He played in 33 games, started 26 over three seasons at West Virginia, finished with 124 catches for over 1,800 yards and 17 touchdowns. Last season, it was his senior year. He had 61 receptions for a shade over 1,000 yards, 1,004 yards, and 12 touchdowns. The 12 touchdowns were third most in West Virginia history. So there's another wide receiver in that room for minicamp, for training camp as well. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening today. There is a lot on the website at LockedOnBengals.com, including every single podcast. And until tomorrow, when tomorrow you're going to hear from Jake Fisher, you're going to hear from Brandon LaFell. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.